Okay. Welcome, everybody. My name is Ronny Sarman, and today is a bit of a special day for me because it's exactly 10 years today that I work for Microsoft. Hopefully, my demo will work, so maybe work again tomorrow in a couple of weeks more. So let's see how it goes. I'm here to talk about Silverlight 5, what is, show some features. We added a lot of features, so at the end I decided to split in two sessions. One is a bit more introductory, although there are some technical stuff in there. And the second one, I go a bit more in details on some features of Silverlight 5. So where we are. So we shipped Silverlight 4 in August 2010. And just 3 weeks ago, I wanted to point out that today, or last week, we were at 74% of installed penetration in Switzerland of Silverlight. That's really good. And the other thing is that we shipped Silverlight 5 beta 3 weeks ago. So not all that what I show today you can try it at home, because I use some special bits, but most of the things you can try it already with Silverlight 5 beta. Not all the features are in this beta. There will be more features coming in the next months. Release, final release, around the end of this year for Silverlight 5. So this is a bit the schedule. Another important thing, we always maintain a good compatibility back. So you install Silverlight 5 plugin, your Silverlight 4 application should work without any change, any recompilation. Nothing to change. So that's really good. It was the same for Silverlight 4 to Silverlight 3 and for Silverlight 3 to Silverlight 2. So that's another big advantage. You don't need to continue to change every new releases, and that's also great news. So what's good for Silverlight? So I categorize in three kinds of scenario. One is premium media, where you want DRM, you want full screen video, you want complex type of video scenario like Olympics website, Roland Garros, the Swisscom TV Air application, for example. Then we have the classical web special I showed last year, let's say the Kunsthaus project, Deep Zoom Zerma, those kind of things. And then a huge amount of people are doing line of business, so even SAP has built a front end in Silverlight and so on. In Silverlight 5, most of the features, they are targeting these two scenarios, premium media and line of business. And today, I wanted to be a bit more serious than normally, so I decided to focus on line of business. But I will show some stupid demos always, because people will not be happy if not. Okay. So, we have this RIA service framework, already talked a lot and so on. The goal is to make it a multi-tier Silverlight application as easy as it possible to build. So to transform it basically like a single-tier application, but still being a multi-tier app. So to start, I want to show something at the beginning that you can do with Silverlight 4. But I show a couple of small tricks that you could learn and show some more features of Silverlight 5 after a while. So I want to create my first line of business application. I go in Visual Studio, select Silverlight. I give it a name. Let's call it Tech Days Basel. Voila. Okay. Now the important things, I say I want to use the RIA services. So it's preparing my project to use RIA services. And what I get two projects. One is the server-side part, so my business logic part, my data access layer part, and then I get the client-side part in Silverlight. So let's start with the server-side part. I want to connect to a database. So I use Entity Framework. This I did it so many times, the demo. I will not comment too much. I go pick up Entity Framework, give it my classical name, so Model 1, pick up a database, the only one that I know, Norwins. I will change something with this demo. I will use a different tables. It goes, find out the table here. I'm even cheaper today. I select all the tables, and that's it. So actually, I should build a wizard for me, create a demo, and that's it. So what I got, an ORM mapping over my entity frame, my database in SQL Server. So I recompile my application. Cool. Remember to recompile. So if something doesn't work, instead of rebooting your machine, first recompile. That's my approach. Add new items, and now is the important thing. Now is where I create the magic. I want to expose this data as service so I can consume it from Silverlight. So I go pick up web, There is something called domain service class. It makes it really easy to link it to Silverlight. There's no Silverlight in the name, so you don't know what it is, but North domain. Voila, I give it a name. And now what it does, it figures out that in my model, I have some tables, and he asks me which one I want to expose to the client. So, new to me, I will use the table products and categories, and products, it will be editable, and that's it. So what it does, it generates a service layer for me. So now, again, recompilation quickly. So the client side of Silverlight sees now the service. I don't need to do any add service reference. I don't need to think about any connection between these two parts. I can go straight in Silverlight and start to build my application. So the first thing I want to do is to make it a bit larger on my screen. I quickly change so I get the reference how big is my things. Voila. So I have my real estate ready. So now I want to use first a tab control. So I can go here. So you always see the XAML editor and the XAML per se. So I can check the tab control because I want to create a multi-tab interface. I can link it. So I can say we should stretch with my screen. Now it's practical because some property I'm quicker to editing XAML than in the property box. So like the margin. I know it should be 10, here should be 40, and then again 10, 10. And here we can say the title of my items here. I will zoom in later on, so here you should see quite big. And here we give it a name like products. Products. Voila. So I'm ready. So now what I want to do, I select the grid inside. And I now can drag and drop. So I see already my service, and my services are offering two things, the products and the categories. So I pick the products, and I say, look, I would like to have a data grid. I would like to have a data grid. Category should have details. I want the category ID to be a combo box, and I don't want to see the product ID and supplier ID because I don't really care about those two things. Now I can drag and drop in my Silverlight screen and say reset layout just to see it bigger, run my application. If I didn't do any mistake with this click, click, yes, yes, click, click, yes, yes, click, click, I should get my first Silverlight application. So far, so good, should not be that hard. I get the data in here. You can see I can already edit, there are already validations, so if I write too long, it comes already a validation rules. Things like that, you get it for free. Column reordering, all these features. Hey, I have a combo box, but of course it doesn't work. Because everybody normally they stop here with the demo. Oh, nice, but let's not do any lookup table and so on. So that's what I wanted to show first, how you can add a combo box. Unfortunately, as every wizard, he has some limitation, this wizard. So one rule of the real services is that the domain context should be shared across. Because if you load data on it, it can do reference, but it needs to be shared. And unfortunately, this, let's call it stupid wizard, what he does, he put the domain data source here, only for the data grid. So the first thing we want to do is to move it out and move it to a global. So let's say user control.resources. So I put in my resources here, and let's give it a key for this resource, oops, and let's call it my custom domain. I think it's my custom domain, hopefully. If not, I will need to change all my next code. So that's it. First thing to do then is to remove it from here and say, look, this data source should have the domain context that comes from a static resource, and bind it to that one. So it was my custom domain. Voila. So now, if I rerun the application, nothing is changed. It should just work. And the wizard should have done that. So, okay, next step. I want to do some lookup, right? So I want to at least show, the first step would be, instead of the category ID, is to see the category name. So view that is a referential data. What I do, I want to load those data. So what I do, I copy the data source here, making another one here. You could do it with the wizard, but I can show you can type it if you want to. Let's give it a key, and let's call it CBX because I use it for the combo box. And I want to autoload. I don't want any design data. I'm not doing any design, so let's remove it. I don't want any event handler of that, so when it's loaded. And here, let's call it categories. Voila, categories, domain sources, and query name is get categories. So this is the name of my service that automatically was generated by these RIA services. So now what happens? Automatically, it will load also the category. So when you start, I have the category. So now let's look what I can do with that. So you, as you can see, let's make this a bit smaller so you should see it. Here I have a template column called category ID column. And there is a cell template. And what I can do, I can also create an edit template. So you can copy and say, look, I don't want a cell template. I want a cell editing template. So when I go in edit mode, it should show a combo box. When not in edit mode, I simply want to have a text block so that I cannot change it. And this text block now, the fun starts here, is very easy. I know that I have a categories property in my products. And so I can say binding, categories, and then I can access any of these properties. So in this case, it will be category, name, voila. So the first thing I've done, fairly simple, I load the category, and now automatically it will do the lookup for me. So I don't need to do a join in the query. I don't need to think about those things. I simply navigate, and if I didn't do any mistake, voila, you have the category here. So that's already pretty neat. So I don't need to think about first I need to load a join and then use another one for editing. When I go to edit, of course, the combo box is empty. So let's fix the combo box. It's fairly easy. Let's remove this one and let's add the one with already the code in there because I'm sure I will mistype. I simply explain what I'm doing. I say, the combo box should display the category name. The selected item, so the link, it should get the categories from the products table and should be binded two ways. So if I change in the combo box, it change in the products and vice versa. And then the source of the categories, it should be this CBX, that is this data source that I loaded here. Oh, it's a bit of code, but at the end it works. And I have my lookups working with my combo box in it. And now if I change it, it works. So now, it took me 5 minutes of Silverlight 4 to introduce one of the most advanced features ever seen. So Visual Basic 3 has it. Visual Basic 1 probably had this feature. And now finally Silverlight 5 has it. You can type. So watch that without the mouse. I can type S, it goes to seafood. If I type C, it goes to condiments and so on. Amazing stuff, right? Incredible. Why it took us so many years, but it's very important for line of business, right? People want to type, so you want to say, yo, seafood, seafood bum, or whatever you want to type in, tab, next one, and so on. You don't want to use the mouse, click, open, scroll, especially if it's, the list is big, you can type ahead, and it can multiple type. So that's a really cool feature. Actually, really. Visual Basic 3 has it for sure. More, I don't know. Okay. So first feature shown. Next one. So we've seen the combo box type ahead. We have a new feature called implicit templates. I show you exactly what it means. We have ancestor relative source binding, something super complex. I show you in the second session. And data binding debugging. I was in 2005, I think, in Redmond, working on the WPF team, and I said, why we don't have debugging on XAML? And everybody was saying, ah, yeah, maybe, maybe. 5 years later, or almost six, we are there. So let's see how it works, those features. So if you remember my application, it has a nice drop down. But it wouldn't be cool to have not only the product name in here, or sorry, the category name, but also to have a category description. So how I do that? I could go and create a template for that. But the new things that you can do in Silverlight 5 is to create a generic template for type categories. So let's do that. I go into my app XAML, so it's something global for everybody. And I say I want to create a new data template. And here the new things is say target type. Oh, sorry. Should be a target type somewhere. Ah, data type, thanks. That's good that there's somebody that knows how to do things in the audience. Data type, and now I can declare my data type. First, I need to declare a namespace because I'm in another namespace, so let's call it my, and let's go grab this one. So it's in the web part, in the web service stack. So now I can say this should target my categories. So now my data template, whatever I put in there and whatever I display a category, it will show what I put in here. So I just copy and paste because it's a bit of XAML, and oops, it will be a bit boring to see. What I'm doing here, I'm simply creating three columns and simply saying column one, show the category name, column two, so the second column, that's so horrible, these things. I'm a VB guy, start with one, the array. Okay, and description. So I still don't use the third category, third column, show it. So automatically, look, I put it generic. Now, in everywhere that in my application it finds that I use category, it's automatically applying this data template. So I didn't change anything in my combo box, but I have my product description. So pretty cool. So already quite cool. I can go more. View that I have also the product loaded. It would be cool that I show how many products are in this category. It would be kind of fun to try to do. So let's try to do that. I go back to my stuff here. I copy this text block and put it to. And now the binding will be product.count. I want to count the number of products that are assigned to this category. Kind of cool, product. Okay, cool. Three column, rerun it. And here I should see the number of products. So it doesn't work. So what I do normally, I say, you know, the good speaker, they try to reboot the machine and fix the problem. The average one, they say, let's move to the next demo. It's normal, right? Now, thanks, we have XAML debugging. So let's look what is wrong. So of course I did the mistake on purpose. I never do mistakes normally. Okay. I put the breakpoint on the data binding. So yes, I start my application with the debugger on. Click. I goes in the debugger. It's already here, it's a bit small, but it say, look, I don't find any product property. Actually, let's do something that I should have done at starting time. Oops. Where is my... I don't have it anymore, no. Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry, so I can show you a bit better. So I say, look, you don't have a product property, and actually the cool things, I say, oh, what is binding to? Final source? And here you can see in the final source, you say, look, I'm binding to categories. And in fact, I have a property, but it's called products and not product. And actually, if you open up, you see it's even having a count. So now I'm really secure that it's the right one. Stop the debugger. Products. Restart. And I should get also the product. So that's absolutely the most beautiful feature of Silverlight 5. We can finally get rid of this trial and error using this kind of data binding mistakes that always happen. So that's absolutely number one feature for me. Now, it's cool. Can I apply this template somewhere else? So I use it in the combo box. But if I put a list box, does it work also there? Absolutely. So let's see how it works. I go to my main page, and let's take a where is a type item. So let's create another items. So we start to create. At the end, the goal is to have a bit more complex solution. So voila, let's call it details. Let's give it a meaningful name, tab item 2. And what I want to put is a list box. So list box, x name, let's call it details list, and voila. So I'm not defining in any manner how we should display data. Now what I can go, in my code and say, look, if you're finished loading the data, what you should do, you should show it also in this details list box. So details list dot item source equal, and in this case I want the categories domain data source dot data. So show me all the categories also here. Now, view that I have a global template, it should automatically show these three columns also there, right? So I should see the category name, description, and the product count. Cool. But it's really, I can do it even at runtime to change it, what type. So yes, I can even create a second data template. Let's copy to gain some time. So voila. So I create a second data template for products, right? And I simply show the product name at the beginning. So now if I go back to my page, here, and instead of loading the categories, I load the products. Automatically, it will switch my rendering to the products. So that's pretty cool, especially in complex scenario. You can have generic data template, how you want to represent a customer, etc. Now, if you're really sick and you don't know what to do, you can even combine these two templates. So what I can do is say, look, in products, I want to show also the category. So here, view that I have two columns. I create a second one. I say I want a content control, and the content should be, and here I say bindings to the categories. Categories. Voila. So basically, I'm showing the categories linked to these products. Let's also do something like this. Let's move it to the second column. Voila. And that's it. So now, I'm showing categories. It doesn't know how to display, but yes, I have a generic template for category, so it will add those three columns to those two. So pretty powerful way to nest data template if you want to. Voila, and you see I have the products with this category, the category description, and the count of these products. So pretty neat, pretty powerful, and very clean code, because I have a central place where I can manage the display. Of course, I can override designing a data template just for that list box, for example. Cool. Another thing that we added, we let you do data binding on styles. So styles is a way that I can change the look and feel of Silverlight. So I show you a bit how you do that. And the cool things you can do data binding on that. What you want to do that is because you want to, for example, change the style at runtime in an easy and clean way. Another thing that we added, this is not Silverlight 5 specific, but we added after Silverlight 4. We find out that a lot of people, they would like to have a bit better look and feeling, look and feel of the application without investing in going to a designer and so on. So we ship 4 or 5 themes that you can use it directly in your application. So you can import these themes and change the look and feel. So let's do that, change the look and feel and do some template binding. Cool. So how you do that? First thing I need to do is to add some references because I was super lazy, I didn't clean up the things. So just bear with me quickly. And here should be here. It should be the control toolkit, blah, blah. So I didn't clean up the template. So I do the easy way. I load all the controls. Should not do that at home. If not, your application gets big for nothing. Now, the next step, I want to import these assets. So I create a new folder, call it a new folder assets. Voila. And in these assets, I import my styles. So I go pick it up somewhere here. There should be the last one that I did. Voila. So those are where the color, the styles, the graphics that represent all the controller loaded are hosted. And now I load it in my application. I'm almost done. So those you download it from the web, you simply copy in and you're done. Next thing you need to reference. So what I want to do is say I want to merge all the resources from there. So I show you quickly. It's super easy. Again, you copy from the sample. And you simply say, oh, load all these styles. Now I know these styles is black, so it should have a background black. So I go quickly and change here the background. Somewhere here should be a background black. Where is here? Black. Voila. I run it, and I should have a different look and feel. Be nicer, and so on. You see, you don't read anything, so that's good. You have details. Everything has changed. Also, the scroll bars change. If you go, also the drop-down are changed and so on. So the look and feel is a bit better. Why is white? I remove it, that particular property, to show how you can customize and do this data binding on style. So it's not a mistake. Normally, it should have come with the right color, but I did it on purpose. So what I can go back, in my XAML, upXAML the global, and say, look, what I want to do, I want to create a new style. A new style. Target type, it should target the text block. So any text block that is in my application, it should have a setter with a property called foreground and a value of red. So now all the text box in the data grid should become red. So we can quickly check. So these are you do generic styles. Voila. Next thing I want to do is to be able to change font size at runtime without writing any code. So what I want to do, I want to add a slider control. Let's do it here. And I simply take one that already defined to gain time. So it's a slider. It has a minimum value of 6. Maximum, let's call it 14. So you can move from 6-point to 14-point font. It's called font slider. Okay? So now, globally, and that's the new feature of Silverlight 5, I can decide, look, I want another setter, and it should target the property font size. But now the value is not a fixed value, but it's a data binding value. So I can say binding, and say, please find the element name called font slider, and the path equal basically the property value. So basically it's reading the value of my slider and changing the font at runtime. So it's very clean to do this kind of things globally on style. Isn't it cool? Okay. I will show you a bit more, but that's so you can change color, you can change all at runtime without needing to wire up a lot of code, go find all your references and so on. So that's also a quite nice feature that was requested. Good, and you see already the application look a bit more professional, a bit more interesting and so on. The next thing I wanted to show, or that I don't want to show because I show in the second session is we improve a lot in the text. Text management in Silverlight is not any good. No, it's okay. But it's not as powerful as should be. So we improve it a lot, like having multi-column support, even better than what HTML5 can do it. We have text clarity improvements on, but also big things, and I cannot demonstrate it because it's not there in the beta, is PostScript vector printing. So now you can print complex multi-page reports. I'll explain you a different in the second session, but that's really a key investment for line of business is full printing. You could print in Silverlight 4, but it's a bitmap printing, so printing 80 pages with complex things like this, it gets a really big spool size, and it's not that efficient. Now we improve it a lot in this case. Another thing, this is the number one request from banks, is to support multiple windows. So the idea is, I can have multiple windows from the same Silverlight application. As you've seen, Silverlight has evolved from a browser-only technology to also an out-of-browser full desktop experience. And we have some big banks using, also for trade and so on, they have two screens, and I want to have some data here and some data there in different screens, different resolutions, so on. So that's we added. Of course, for trusted application only. So let's take a look at this feature and how it works. So first of all, I need to take my application out of browser so I can have multiple windows. So the first thing to do if you use RIA services is to make sure that you host your project in IIS. If not, you get mad because the Cassini website is not starting and so on. So let's do it quickly. I create my project here, host it in IIS. Now, I use integrated security, so I need to go and change my pool for this application. So let's go and pick up my TD, whatever, Basel website, okay, basic settings, and I change the pool to the one that has access to my database. So that's small cleanup things. So at least my server side is always running independent if I start in Visual Studio or not. Next step, I go to my project in Silverlight and I say, look, you should enable, and this is the tricks, to run out of browser. So if people want, you can run it directly out of browser. And you can even set some more settings, oops. And I want to use the GPU, and I want even full trust, so I can span multiple windows. So now if I run my application, it will tell me, are you sure that you did all right with RIA service? Yes, 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 don't ask me again. And now finally I have my data running. Oh, I know what is wrong. I told you, rebuild the application. Because it didn't change the reference on the thing. So now it should work. Oh, please, please. Don't, oh, okay. My 10 years on Mac is always starting to tremble. Okay, good. I have my data here. Now it would be cool that like Internet Explorer 9 can do, you can detach tab and fly out windows. It would be cool on double click. Can you do double click in Silverlight? Of course not, but of course yes in Silverlight 5. So Visual Basic 1 edit, Silverlight 5 as it. With one additional feature that I will explain you. Amazing. Be prepared. So, if I click on this type items products, and so let's do mouse left button down, I get a nice event handler for this, and watch this. Absolutely, let's do very big because it's an impressive piece of code. If E dot click count, so, we have double click, triple click, quadruple click. The evolution of Silverlight is amazing. Okay, so now finally we have the click events. And let's do some of the logic to move out the windows. Okay, so what I do? I create a new window. So this is the new feature. I want to be notified when the user closes it, and I explain you later on. I say the 8 width, so you can control the windows, top, left, even a nice title. And now what I do, and this I don't know if you know, you can move live events, live controls from one control to another in Silverlight. The trick is you need to park it. So I take the content of my tab and put it in a temporary object. I remove it from my tab and I move it to the external window. So I take it off, move it there. Then I do some visibility, so I hide the tab and I select the next one. When I close, guess what I do? Exactly the same things in Verse. I go grab back my element. So in this case will be my data grid. So I grab the data grid back, park it, remove it from my windows, move it back on the tab items, and show the tab items. Good? So let's see this feature that I also like it quite a bit because sometimes was really a pain. So now I have my application here. Double click, amazing. I have the second windows. It's a normal windows, or many windows I say. It's even linked together. So now if I select here, view that I share the same data context, so changes, they float again, so pretty cool. And although it works also with this thing, so I can control even data from the outside window. So basically, you're not limited anymore to have a Windows only in Silverlight. Actually, we plan after beta to offer this kind of Windows also for trusted browser application. I'll explain you later what it is. So that's also a nice, cool feature. Good. Moving on. I have so many features to show that I need to rush. So another thing that we did, and is another big investment, is enabling hardware acceleration graphics. You say, oh, I heard already i9 has it. No, we ported the XNA 3D graphic framework to Silverlight that run on browser. So you can do some amazing stuff. The big plus, you can do really amazing stuff. The downsides is a low-level API, quite complex. In the second session, I show a bit more how it works, and how you can do more high-level things. But it's really a part of Game Studio XNA 4 in Silverlight running in the browser. So I build a demo starting with a sample because I'm not that good in XNA, but I want to show the power of this technology. So we would like to have a 3D report showing the sales that we have in our shop, for example. So in this case, I go add a reference. I already created a control for me. It's called Earth 3D. What I want to do is to declare a namespace. Boy, do I hate this namespace in XAML. You always need to type and type and type and type and type. Okay. So XML namespace dot Earth 3D equal, and here let's go pick it up somewhere. Voila. So now, what you would expect me to do, yeah, let's add another tab. Let's call it 3D report. And let's call it tab item 3. And you would like me to put the 3D element here. Unfortunately, there is a bug. I cannot put it in here because it will not render. So I need to do a small trick. You don't want to see that one, but hey, somebody had to do it. So what I do, I create the control itself outside. So here, on top, I give a position that matches, really ugly, and is not visible by default. So what I want to say, I want to check on the tab control, selection changed. So if I change my selection, and finally we should see some 3D demo. Here, what I do, I simply say, look, if I'm on type 3, show me the errors, if not, hide it. Ugly, but it's just a beta, then you can implement it there. But let's watch the 3D stuff, because I think that's the interesting part. Okay, so I run my application. I go to the 3D report, I see the world. You see already a performance is quite good, but it's pretty simple. Let's show the atmosphere. You have bump maps, so amazing performance again. So now I can show an elevation map that basically the sales. So you can see where are the hotspots, where we sell more, and so on. So if you really want to get fancy and you have nothing to do, as always I have at Microsoft, you can show some special map like me. Even uglier me, below the atmosphere, that's crazy things. And you can do your nice movie animation, things like this. So kind of cool. But let's show another example that a colleague in France has built, an amazing demo. It runs, of course, 3D in the browser. So let's go watch these Babylon things. So basically, you can navigate inside 3D Studio Max exported model. So I can pick up the Windows Cafe in Paris. It's loading. So now it's loaded. I can set the camera speed that I want to move. Now you see my gaming skills are really bad, but you can see the speed. I can move around. You can see there is a surface. I can move around. There is collision detection. So if I bump on things, I will move around. Let's move upstairs. And here you see my gaming skills. I will lose a doom at any time. So, oops. Yeah, I told you that I'm really bad. It's just to see the details and the amount and the performance they can do. You see I'm moving around 85 frames per second. Just amazing performance from this graphics engine and what you can do. And the model is very complex. So let's take a look at the model in wireframe. So it's not the two polygon blah blah demo that people show around. It's really a complex thing. The cool thing, this library is published on CodePlex, so you can take it and start for this kind of library to build your 3D project and so on. So you can build a small 3D chart, you can build very complex visualization for machinery and so on. So that's also a pretty powerful and cool library. Good. Next thing I wanted to show, and I already showed a bit, but I think it's really changing dramatically what you can do. So Microsoft Research shipped something called Silverlight Pivot Viewer. I already showed it in the past. One project that I did with that was the Mischweiz selection, so where you could select the preferred one, go and see a resolution picture and so on. It's a kind of cool technology. So I built another example together with an MSN colleague, and it's called the Parliament Pivot. Voilà. So the idea is to analyze the Swiss Parliament. So you can see already the party, political party. You can see already who is bigger in the party. Now the interesting things, I can say, yeah, look like I want to see the one that are the most there, the kind of people that stay there and keep the chair at their place and so on. So you can zoom in. Quickly, you can see the two people saying that. You can really zoom in, but the Mischweiz was better for that. Nothing, I'm really not in politics, I don't take me. So, but you can start to do some data analysis that is quite interesting. I say, you know, I want to see who voted against or pro helping the UBS. And so you see the Yan 9, I can see, yes, just see the Yan 9. And here you can see already by the color of the party that FDP, they voted against it, SVP pro and so on. So already with the coloring in the eyes, you can see it. And now it would be interesting. I'm interested to see maybe only Zurich and Bern, if there is some difference in how it works. And maybe I want to see only the young guys in the National Rat. So you can already see what they voted and analyze data. So it's a very nice visual way to analyze data. So it's a really cool control that you can do quite amazing stuff. Now, the fun start here. I do build one of these, and I think at Shape I showed that. There is an XML behind, a lot of blah blah, you need to compile the XML. There is a tool called Microsoft Excel. You download a template, you enter the picture, the name, all the property, you compile, you get. The problem is of this technology, it's all static. What about on my data, on shop orders, on I want to analyze? It would be cool to see the most selling product by visual things. Think about, I don't know, a company like Swatch would be cool to see. Show me today the outselling watch, but I see the picture of the watch is much better than product number 37KT2. It wasn't really possible with today. The new one is as first, it becomes part of Silverlight, so it's fully supported. It will be in the SDK of Silverlight 5. It's not there yet. It will be in the next beta. It supports dynamic collection, so I can load and change my collection at runtime, and I show a demo. You can even skip the deep zoom part and use directly XAML in your view, so that's also pretty cool. And of course, you can change the look and feel, something that you cannot do in the demo that I show. So how you do that? So it would be cool to analyze my customers and see the customer faces when I'm trying to analyze who I should get in contact and so on. View that I have customers, data and so on, I can expose. So first thing, I want to get it from the database. So here comes the power of the RIA services. First thing, you can create your own data classes that needs to transfer back. So basically, I'm exposing a class, should be here, no, should be here, okay? And I say I want a customer pivot data. What I want to have? I want to have a customer ID, company name, contact name, blah, 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 blah. The total sales, how much did he buy from us, and last time did he order something, okay? Now here it took me like 3 days to PhD to come up with a query, and I copied the query. I don't want to show it typing. I did it myself, so for sure it's wrong, but at least I did it. So I go to all the orders in my database, I group it by customer ID, then I want to get the customer, I want to get the total sales, that is the sum of the order quantity multiplied by the unit price, then I want the contact name, the city and so on, and the last order date. Okay, so now I have my data, I'm ready to go and build a pivot out of that. So, how I do that? First thing, I need to go and grab the data from my service. I could use the wizard. I want to show you that I'm able also to write some code. Barely, but I can still. Okay. So now I say, I want a my north domain. Voila. So again, the trick here with RIA services is always using the same domain context. So I'm going to go and grab the one that I defined at the beginning of the session. So it's in my resources. Voila. And I call it my custom domain. I hope I was called it like this. Let's check it later if it doesn't work. So I'm loading it. So now what I can do, I can call load the data. So here the cool thing is see all my query that I expose and automatically the new one. So there is a query called get customer pivot data query, as you can see. And that's it. So I say load the data. And now I can build my pivot. So for building the pivot, the first thing I need to add a reference to this library. So it will be the pivot, blah, 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 all this one I need. It will be a single library at the end. Right now I'm using really an internal alpha that is a kind of shaky alpha, but it should work. Hello. Load. Sometimes it helps, but good. So now I want, what I want to do, add a new tab. I think we see so much me adding tabs to this application that it can get boring. But let's call it a tab item 4. And let's call it pivot report. And let's say, what is this got focus? So now I'm ready to run. So first thing, I need to declare my pivot. So again, to declare the pivot, you need a namespace, and now I copy just to speed up a bit the time. You've seen me typing namespace all day. So I reference the pivot, and now in my tab items, I can go and add my pivot. So it will be pivot, pivot viewer, and its name, I think I called it my pivot. Voila. So I have my pivot viewer. Very easy. So now I have the data, I have my pivot and the UI, I simply need to go and wire them together. So I explain a bit how it works, this pivot technology, and I copy the code because it's a bit of code. It's not that much. It's fairly easy to understand, but you need to type, and I hate typing. Good. Voila. Resolve. Okay. So what you need to first define, you say, do I have a collection or not? So if the first time I go in, I create a new pivot collection, and then the pivot property are those searchable things? So I want to group by country, by city, by function, by last order. You can say if it's filterable. And you can also say which kind of type it is, text, or if it's date, time, or decimal. So if it's date, you get a date range. If it's text, it's a simple text. And if it's money, you get those nice chart with the range. So that's how you command that. Then the next things, you can go grab all the data that I got from my query. Now, I'm not sure that I typed the right things there. Huh? What did they call it? My custom domain instead of my domain context. Super. Voila. Good. And then what I do simply, I move in every property. So the country, I move in the country. The city, I move the city. And so on and so on and so on. At the end, I add also the link to the picture. And here I go directly through my server to get the picture. And in this case, I use the national RAT, whatever you say in English, picture just to get it, apply changes, and load it to Pivot. So here I can iterate, I can re-query my database, I can do with a timer, I can do a refresh like I do every time I go to the tab is refreshing the data. So let's see if I can analyze the data in there. So I go to my Pivot report, it's loading the data. So I have all my sales. So now I can start to do interesting things. I say group by country. So I already see the country where I have more sales. Or it would be cool to say group by function. So I know I have two type of people that I tend to talk. It's sales representative and owners. So let's select the owners and say, okay, I want to see the owners and the one that spend most money with us. And blah, blah. I see already very easy to which one I should talk, which one I should invest more and things like this. So it's a really nice way to visualize data, and now you can do it in near real time. So we have, for example, an example, use the eBay auction. So you type in the product name, and so it's continue to query eBay and showing the products and so on in this way. So it's a very powerful way to visualize data. And of course, with this chart, you can see really the total sales and go quickly grab who is spending really the most. So I really want to focus on this one. Or let's focus to the one that didn't buy too much. Or another cool thing that you have is the possibility that use the date. So the date order is already grouping by months, or you can set the range, or you can simply say I want only to check the people that order only. The last one was in 96, but the total sales was quite a lot. So why this guy didn't order any more from me? So those are kind of analyses that you can do in an easy and very visual way. It really changed the fun and interaction that you can have with your application. So and with the new Pivot, it's fairly easy. It's a supported product, and you can put it inside your Silverlight application. Cool. Last thing I wanted to show before lunch is that we have a new style of Silverlight application. So we have Silverlight out of browser, but we have also something called Silverlight in browser trusted application. It means it's targeting to intranet scenario where the company can decide, let's take UBS and say, I want to trust all the applications signed with this certificate, but then it can do much more. Much more, it means it can do com interrupt directly from the browser, so it can talk with the office. But we add new in Silverlight 5, a full PinVoke, so you can call any library that exists in Windows. So a Silverlight application today in browser, when full trusted, and given admin permission by an administrator through group policy object, or out of browser, it can do anything that yeah, the platform support. So there's no more limitation in the Silverlight platform. Just amazing what you can do. So I thought, every year I come out with some super crappy, creepy demo. Already my face in the globe was bad, but you know, I want to come with the most useless scenario. So let's go back to the Miss Switzerland project that I did last year. Unfortunately, I will not do it this year because at Michael, we don't like to do the same things twice. So the idea here is to show the power that I can do full access in the browser. So the idea is, why not use, I think everybody around you say, why not use Kinect? So I get Kinect here and try to interact and see if it's possible to do something. So I can go, I have a WPF application that basically is connecting to Kinect and it's coming up, hopefully if it works, it's really shaky, it's alpha things of our stuff. And you can see I have the two camera, the deep camera and the normal camera. So probably if I go here, you can see I'm here around here. Now I need to turn my screen, if not I don't see anything. So this WPF application, so it could be a driver, it could be anything. What it does is exposing the data through a COM interface. So now what I can do, I can open my old Miss Switzerland project. I change it quickly to connect. It's a browser app, so, but I gave it full trust. So we'll be able to communicate with an hardware in this case. So I run it. You will see it's in the browser. Hopefully it runs with the lights. I couldn't test it because the break was so short. So you should get it here loading. You see Miss Switzerland, Kirsten. Okay, so she's there. So let's try the most horrible demo I ever did. So let's see. So already she recognized me, so that's good. You can zoom in. You can turn her. Just, I mean, it's not fake. I'm not doing with the key. So you see, it's not even obeying too much. It's like my wife. Hello. You can zoom out. I think I did a gesture for zoom out, but it seems... Zoom out. No, out. Out, out. It works. It seems... Okay, so just to show you that in Silverline now you can access Kinect. So kind of creepy demo that I could do. Absolutely business relevant, of course. No, I really focused a lot on business today, so you should give it to me. Okay, why did I talk about Kinect? Because also something new. If you have some cool idea or you just want to spend time at home building something, in spring, we will ship a SDK for Kinect, where you can build this kind of application. We ship with samples and all in C#, so a .NET library in C++. And I'm sure there will be people coming out with wrapper where you can call directly from Silverlight without any in-between application that you need. So you could use Kinect to build your kind of application. We offer most of the things like skeleton detection, sophisticating audio processing, and so on. So we'll come and you will be able to also play around with Kinect and create some interesting and fast stuff. Good. So in the advanced session that I will do after lunch, I will cover more what it means trusted application, what you can do with that kind of things and so on. But I will also talk to performance improvement, how you check performance of your application. And also, I will dig a bit more in the 3D API, explaining how it works, how it looks like, and what are the library already available. Good. So where to start? Silverlight.net. You can go, grab the beta, playing around. I will publish the code on my pseudo application, as always, together with the slides, so you can take a look on that. And I will be around all the rest of the day and tomorrow at the Ask Expert Zone if you want to discuss and have a chat about this amazing technology. Thank you very much. Enjoy your lunch. See you maybe in the next session.